This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by the New York Tourism Board, the only place where trash can be considered art.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two-time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy.
Oh, shoot, Sully. So what's good over there in Pittsburgh, PA, homie?
We're getting a lot of weather right now. There's a
weather.
I don't lose my power because we've had, I haven't had power outages, but we've been suffering from power outages from all these
rain and wind or
rain and a lot of wind, man. It's crazy.
Any tornadoes? Because I saw like all the tornadoes going through like, you know, the whole Midwest and everything.
They're barely, I heard that there's some stuff that's developed across here, but I haven't seen any of it. And I mean, I only get the severe weather stuff, but I never get the tornado shit yet.
Good. So, we'll see. Know, maybe this gets you.
All right, let's get into this week's topic, and it's a big one. And unless you've been living under a rock, there's a lot of shit that's been going on. So,
What happened this week?
What happened?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I haven't heard anything. I've been under a rock, man.
I haven't heard anything. What are you talking about?
I haven't heard anything. What the hell happened this week?
I've been locked in the Batcave. I don't know what you're talking about.
Assuming that all the information that we have is correct, the story has unfolded something like this. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but I kind of wrote a summary here, and I was picking stuff that I was watching Twitter feeds, news reports, and all this and all that, right? So the gist of it is this. During the 2016 presidential race, Donald Trump was, as we all know, at the verge of victory. And apparently around that time, the porn star, Stormy Daniels, began threatening, you know, Trump that she was going to disclose reported affair that had happened a decade prior, so back in 2006. And so the story goes that because Trump has denied this, right? And so the story goes that that because of the way politics works, right, the bad story would have hurt him, would have hurt his campaign. And so allegedly, I mean, this could very well be true. The fact of legality, we don't know yet, but supposedly Trump's attorney at that time, Michael Cohen, decides to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000 and as a way to, you know, hush her up. So basically hush money. And this was then reimbursed back to him from Trump's personal finances, right? This is how the story goes. And, you know, he categorized this as the payment as a legal cost, right? Well, no one cared during the time that this happened. No one cared. I mean, they looked into it and they're like, well, you know what? I don't think they were expecting Trump to win, honest with you guys. I think they thought they had it in the bag. Well, after he wins, Hillary is left crying and throwing a tantrum. And the left then concocts a plan to go after him, right? The deep state. And what they did is they started claiming, well, maybe that payment that he used, we could constitute it as him violating campaign finance laws because he could have grabbed it from his campaign funds. I don't know how that makes sense, him being the billionaire, but this is how the story is being framed. However, we didn't learn, but eventually the Department of Justice looked into this, right? And again, Tim, tell me if I'm missing anything, but the Department of Justice looked into this and even other government entities looked into this and they said, well, there's really nothing here. And at worst, it could be a misdemeanor. But, you know, what is that? A small
bookkeeping fine.
Right.
It's a bookkeeping
exactly. fine. So we then come to the present. So where we are today, right? That was 7 years ago when after he won and they looked into it and they're like, okay, well, there's really nothing here. Whatever, it's not worth it. Okay, well then we come to the present. 7 years after this had elapsed and it's past the point of, the statute of limitations, basically. So now we have a different district attorney, Mr. Alvin Bragg.
Fat Alvin.
I'm sorry, what?
Fat Alvin.
Fat Albert. Wow. Well, he ran for this position, pledging to that he was going to indict Trump. Now, he didn't say out on what, but he ran on this. And I mean, we're just going to
indict him. We don't have to have anything for him. Right.
So you can go back to what the promises that he made during his campaign. Okay. So now what he's trying to say is that, well, this is a misdemeanor in the state of New York, but we could classify it as a felony because he's trying to tie it to the campaign finance, even though I still don't understand how the New York state government has jurisdiction over federal elections.
It doesn't. That's what everyone's going. There's no merit to this case because the federal the federal law trumps state law, right? That's why, because, you know, Alan Dershowitz, he's been breaking this down, because as much as he's that liberal, he's a liberal person, he even says, he goes, I've supported Donald Trump. I in court and everything, I've represented him, but he's like, I never voted for him and I will never vote for him because I am a liberal.
Right.
But he goes, I'm a constitutionalist. He goes, I believe in the Constitution. And he goes, what all this is, he goes, you know, and he broke it down perfectly by saying, he goes, if state law somehow trumps federal law, now you're going to have 50 different laws, you know, based on 50 different states. You know, how do you handle your campaign finances? Do I pay a dollar for a comb? Do I pay $10 for a comb? And Alan, he breaks it all down. He's got a new book called Get Trump, all this on Amazon. And he breaks down all three cases that are in front of Trump right now. The New York one, the Fulton County one, and the document case in Mar-a-Lago. So he's even saying, he goes, this is a complete violation. And then Alvin Bragg, in his interview yesterday, when they go, what law did he break? Right. Alvin Bragg goes, nah, we don't have to tell you that. We don't have to say what law he broke. He goes, under New York state law, we don't have to tell you that. And that's a violation now of the Sixth Amendment.
I have a clip of when he was asked this question, and we're going to get there. But I just want to lay out, you know, how do we get here and what's been happening? So what happened this week? We were expecting it, right? So the district attorney set up a grand jury and he was indicted by the grand jury this week. And so now there's a case and it's not going to go to a New York judge, which, by the way, he has a bunch of conflicts of interest. And and this is fucking wild. Just the ties. Like, I always say this whenever we have our podcast. It's like, at what point do we look at coincidences and say it's no longer a coincidence? There's a machine that is working here to get him. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, what could be the reasons that they want to that they want to get this guy, right? And I saw this video on TikTok and I kind of made bullet points of the things listed out on why they most likely hate this guy, because they hate him. Now, if Trump is indicted, right, this case goes or whatever, they wanted to push it out a year from now during the debates, which again, to me, this is election interference. These guys talk about Russian election interference. This is literally direct election interference, because this is going to be during the debates that they want to have this case. Can you imagine the guys has to be in court and has to campaign? This is ridiculous.
Isn't he campaigning now? Aren't they doing? Yes. It doesn't matter if they do it a year from now or if they do it now. They're still interfering with his.
This campaign. Is an election interference. Right. He is the Republican front runner right now. Right, mm-hmm. DeSantis hasn't thrown his hat in the mix, and even though Trump is the leading candidate in the Republican primary right now, right? He's announced. There's a reason why he announced when he did, right? Because if he announced in November, now if you're trying to indict him and everything, he can claim election interference, and now you can rile up the base and all this. He's smart, right? He knew this was all coming.
Let me ask you, Tim, what do you think about this? Because I saw many opinions on this, and let me see what you guys think on this, actually. So a lot of people were saying, well, did he really have to go to New York City, right? Because his Secret Service had agreed that they could have technically done all of that from Florida. He didn't really have to go in and do all that stuff. But then there was some conservative who were saying, well, he played it smart by going to New York, because then, you know, the way that these guys work is that they would have said, oh, see, he was such a coward. He didn't want to show up to New York because they would have arrested him and, you know, put him in handcuffs. even though I think a lot of that stuff was negotiated beforehand, I don't think the Secret Service was going to let them put a, you know, drag him, you know, give him the pep walk and all that. You know what I mean? Like,
I heard an interesting point when he flew down there, right? He flew in his plane.
Yeah.
And on the side of the plane, it, you know, it says Trump and, you know, CNN, NBC, all of them for 30 minutes straight. They just had their cameras pointed at this Trump plane. And they're like, he's getting a half hour's worth of free advertising because usually you've got these cameras. Because I guess they landed, pulled up to the terminal or whatever. And he just sat in there for like 30 minutes. Yeah. And so all the cameras are focused on him, like, oh, we're going to get him coming out. Oh, we're going to get him coming out. And meanwhile, they're like, you've been staring at the plane for 30 minutes advertising for Trump. Good job. Yeah,
exactly. It's the whole no publicity is the bad publicity, right? Yes. Genius. Yeah. And he's a business guy. What do you think, Tim?
I think Trump going to New York City was strategic and it needed to happen because look at all the photos they got, right? You know, I was sending you guys, you know, some of the memes and everything, but you have Trump, that's leaving iconic. Trump Tower.
That's an iconic photo, bro.
And then him standing in front of the courtroom with his fist up, like, hey, you know how he always, like all his campaigns, like, yeah, what's up? And he just fist up like, yo, I got this, right?
Yeah.
This was that martyr moment, right? You know, as much as I get you have the anti-Trumpers, you have the true MAGA cultists where it's like if Trump fucking shits brown, like, oh my God. But it's that martyr moment now. He's transcending a lot of the politics because now you're having everybody back on the Trump train, right? Glenn Beck, the other night on Tucker, he put his MAGA hat back on. He goes, look. He goes, I'm in. He goes, there's only one man now. There's only one person who can actually run. And by him running, with everything they just did, he exposed it all. Because this ain't trust the plan. This is some crazy shit. Because he could have probably killed a lot of this stuff off before, you know, 2020 and cleaned out a lot of the deep state. But I think it had to all be exposed. You know, like, it's not a trust the plan, but. You know, when we saw when he was running, right, when he was president, you saw everything they threw at him, impeachment hoax, Russiagate, fucking PP tapes, everything, right? And it's all turned out to be bullshit, right? We find out that Hillary Clinton last year, right, quietly paid $100,000+ fine for paying for the Steele dossier, okay? I mean, because of the campaign violations and all that. Well, how come she's not going to jail? Because that's a direct violation. Like, they funded the Steele dossier and the way they did, they had to pay a fine.
Which was the initial Russian collusion hoax bullshit.
Right. They started this whole fucking thing. Okay. Nothing happens to these people. Okay.
Right.
So you're seeing it all. And then as nuggets that came out of the Durham stuff with Kevin Kleinsmith and all that, you actually had an FBI guy working for the FBI forging FISA requests and all this shit. Mm.
Yeah.
Goes to jail, loses his law license for a year. Guess what? Got reinstated. It was a slap on the wrist. Hey, you took one for the team. Thanks, homie. Like, people have forgotten all the people that have been implicated, indicted, and all this crap. And you got this guy that did nothing. And there's a fucking letter from Cohen saying that Trump never paid him. Cohen was the one who paid Stormy Daniels from his own fucking money.
Stormy Daniels herself admitted that they did, that there was no affair.
And
a signed document.
Right. And then in suing Trump for defamation and all this, she lost that case. And just yesterday, as the indictment's coming down,
poetic justice,
he got ordered to pay another $120,000 in legal fees to Trump. Yeah.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how the fuck are you going to indict a man on something that is all documented that said it never happened? And then she turned around and said, oh, you know, it was a business dealing, maybe, you know. She extorted the motherfucker. How are you not looking at Stormy Daniels for extortion?
Right.
In the city of New York.
Or breaking the, NDA.
NDA.
That's exactly.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a two-tier justice system in this country. And this is kind of why I wasn't prepared, because I figured with everything going on, this is just going to be just free-flowing, just conversation with a lot of this, right? With some videos and everything. But everything is coming out right now. You're seeing a two-tier justice system, okay? The right can do nothing. They can't do anything. If they jaywalk, they are looking to throw these people in fucking jail, okay? Right. yesterday during all this chaos, a CBS reporter or journalist or a cameraman fucking attacked another journalist. And they got it on TV, and now they're trying to cover that up. It's like, so, dude.
Tim sends us a video of, you know, Jeremy, I don't know if you saw those videos that he was literally, there was more media at one point, at the beginning, there was like more media than there were actually people out there. And the media, I before Tim sends me the video, I hadn't even seen the video yet. And I messaged him, and I'm like, bro, I can see these media people just throwing a punch just to get the crowd riled up, just so that they can have footage. Oh, see, here you go, violence. And like the very next minute, Tim sends me the video of a freaking media guy getting into swings with some freaking Trump supporter. And I'm like, what is happening? This is
can't make this shit up, dude.
Yeah. There's such a lack of narrative that they have to create it. You know, it goes back to Jesse Smollett, right? We weren't having enough race crimes or whatever they call it, hate crimes. So he had to make it up. It's like, what's the real story here? Do we have white supremacists beating up black people left, right, and center, or do we not?
By the way, did you see those guys, the original guys, recreate the whole scene? Tim, did you see that video?
No.
Oh my God.
Did he do it on Tucker or something like that?
I think they did on Fox News. I'm not going to play, but just YouTube this video. The original guys, I don't know where they're from. Somewhere, where were they? Jamaica?
They reenacted the whole thing.
I think they're from one of the islands.
Was it Haitian? One of those. Yeah, the Fox News gets them and then ask them to recreate. These guys are fucking hilarious. I initially thought these were like actors, and I'm realizing, no, these are the original guys. They're explaining how they did it. And they are actors. But I'm saying is like it was a skit. I thought it was a funny skit. And then I was realizing, oh no, these guys are telling how they did it. And they're literally throwing, what's his name under the, oh my God.
I'm Jesse Smollett.
Jesse Smollett deserves it.
I don't mean to deviate the conversation, but they even said, yeah, we didn't even put the noose on him. He put that on himself.
Oh my God.
Bro, okay, anyway, so I'm sorry to deviate the conversation, but you brought it up. But anyway, but look, I wanted to say this, you know, because I heard somebody say this, and this is such a great point. But again, to the point we always make, I think, there's two arguments here. One is that the left believes that Trump can lose, is going to lose, and so they want to prop him up so that he'll be easy to beat. That's one argument that a lot of leftists are making. And then the other argument is, well, you know, Trump can't win, and then just his base is crazy and yada, yada, yada. But then I heard a guy who said, look, maybe it was Posobiec, one of those guys. It comes out saying, look, Biden has an opportunity here to come out looking great and having a win here. He could have done something right away. And what would that have been? If he would have come out and said, hey, guys, look, this is, I don't want this to happen. This is not good for the country. You know what I mean? Like, he's my opponent. I can beat him at the polls. I have no problem. Right. And he said, I don't support this, even though, you know, he knew damn well that it was going to happen. Right. Because he can say, I'm not controlling it, but he could have come out and condemned it. And said, look, this is not how we operate as a country. He could have gotten support there, or, you know what I mean? At least not, because right now he's getting clobbered. But what I wanted to say is that he had an opportunity. And so this is why I believe that it's coordinated and that he's very well aware of what's happening. And so, again, he could have, quote unquote, unified the country in condemning this.
Did you just state that Joe Biden knows what's happening?
Exactly. You're right, Jeremy. You're right.
You're right. Yeah. But check this out. This is how you know it's coordinated, because fucking Fat Alvin fucking admitted that he got DOJ funding to investigate Trump. So right there, why is the DOJ giving federal money to a district, you know, a district attorney in Manhattan to investigate a federal crime?
Right.
Quote unquote federal crime. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is something ain't right here. So now this is why you have people like Mike Davis, you know, calling for Jim Jordan and the rest of these Republicans and Kash Patel saying, hey, you need to start subpoenaing these motherfuckers. Don't get back from recess, start issuing subpoenas, get the communications, because if they're using federal monies to do this investigation, that is illegal. You can't do that. So, you know what I mean? So
that's completely,
there's a lot of
election interference because that's the federal government.
Right. So now the federal government is getting involved in a local, you know, and it's like, look, you know what Trump's biggest crime was? You know what his biggest crime was? Because you asked, you go, what was his biggest crime? You know what Trump? No, you know what Trump's biggest crime was? He won. His biggest crime was he won. And, you know, Posobiec and them, they actually, Charlie Kirk actually said this. He was talking about this on Timcast the other night. He goes, they were expecting to go to a wedding or a big celebration at the Jacob Javits Center in 2016 with the big wind mirror ceiling and everything, wind, you know, looking out at the sky. And what they got in return, they went to a funeral. New York elites made a pledge that night saying, we're going to get this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because this was a spitting in all our faces. Think about all the shit he said, lock her up, you're a criminal, you know, and how he was elected, not selected.
Let me ask you, Tim,
the machine.
What do you
think? Underestimated.
Because what was the previous DA's last name? Letitia something?
Letitia James or something like that?
Do you know, did she resign or did she lose? Now, and the reason I'm asking is because I'm wondering if she just didn't want to pursue this, like it took so long, and then that they ultimately were like going to replace her, or did she just, what happened?
She became the attorney general. She ran for attorney general.
Okay, so then she got
that. Okay. But when Bragg was in when he was working with the other district attorney in Manhattan, he told them straight up. He goes, don't even prosecute. This ain't worth it. Just don't even do it.
So then, what do you think caused the pressure now? Do you think it's because they did it after he announced, bro? They did it after he announced the election. So do you think that solidified it for them and for Bragg and that machine to say, hey, we need to go after him because he has the potential to.
Pressure. He got pressure.
He was pressure. Like you said, he's top runner, right? He's was it like 50 plus percentage, mm-hmm. and then the nearest person is DeSantis with like 20 something.
Right, right.
Right. And so he's the next candidate for running. And I heard somewhere that if they can get him on this campaign finance, right, it's a felony, and he can't run if he's convicted of a felony.
Yes, he can.
Right?
He can.
Yes, he can.
He can.
He can.
Yeah.
What could happen? There's a couple things that could happen here. So first, let's get back to the Bragg thing real quick. So with Bragg, what he got, he ran on indicting Trump. I'm going after him. Okay.
Right. Which
that's
is
how you won.
So wrong. Hold on. And they do this a lot, right? The same thing.
It's grift. It's a grift.
I forget who it was, but they maybe it was in California. They ran on, I am going to go after Bill Cosby. They did the same thing with Bill Cosby. It's like, wait a minute. How is this?
So I'm going to explain this. This was based on this is why I kind of checked out of my my training today, because I got hit with a smack in the face with life to a degree, right? Everything we're talking about. There's this thing called emotional. I'm sorry. Let me go back. It's not there. There was this TED talk, right? And I forget the guy's name, but he draws it. He's got three circles. He goes, okay. He goes, you want to know why, you know, companies like Apple and all that, you know, why they're so successful in marketing? Because this guy was a marketer and he was trying to figure out how to become a better marketer. And, you know, in talking to, you know, friends, parents, who are psychologists and everything, he started figuring out a formula. And he goes, huh? He goes, every product, everybody knows the how and the what. What are you selling and how, right? But the why is the most important thing. The why is the message. So instead of going from what, how, why, you go from why, how, you know, why, how, what. Mm-hmm. So when you listen to a lot of these politicians now, they tell you why they're running, right? You don't hear it a lot from conservatives. They say, oh, I'm MAGA and, you know, we're going to drain this. Okay. But when you hear these liberal progressives run, the AOCs, they tell you why. And they tell you how and what they're going to do, right? Why am I running? I'm running because I believe in free and fair elections and democracy. And what are we going to do? We're going to indict Trump. And this is how we're going to do it. Yeah, you rile up the base because now you're showing emotional intelligence. you are now looking at telling the base, their base, when they hear the word Donald Trump, that's their trigger word. Trump has become a trigger word, and that violates their safety. Okay. So now they're prying. This fucking clicked, bro. I'm in this thing. I wanted to walk out of this class because I was so angry, because I'm thinking about politics and I'm like, son of a bitch, this is how they're doing it. Right. And I'm like, I'm learning the communist fucking indoctrination right now. Right. So when I see what Braggs does, that's why they can say they do it. But now what always happens is, especially with politicians, they say they're going to run on something, but they never, something always comes up to where like, oh shit, you know what? We're not going to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Because of X, Y, Z, wasn't enough evidence, or somebody stonewalled it. Okay. But now they're like, no, motherfucker, you're going to do this. And what Bragg did was he brought in this guy, Colangelo. I forget his first name. Colangelo, if you go back, Colangelo was the acting Merrick Garland. What is he? The
AG, Attorney General.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Attorney General, right? He was the acting Attorney General while there were in Biden's transition team, right? While they were confirming. So what they did was, so Braggs wound up hiring him, okay, recently. So by hiring him, you hired the federal government. Federal government now, he brings all that with him. So now the feds are running the whole thing. Braggs is right. Just the fucking, the guinea pig, and he's got to go up there. So the federal government is indicting Donald Trump through Braggs, because Braggs the one that's going to get, going to get hung out to dry, because people are pissed about this. Even a lot of liberals are like, dude, this is why, not good.
This is why I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene, what Jim Jordan, and what I forget the other guy, Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz and them are going to do is they're going to drag him to testify. They're going to subpoena testify. And I think they need to investigate him. Very deep, and a lot of it, that communication needs to be brought to daylight, bro. Because I guarantee you anything, and I wouldn't put it past the three letter agencies being involved. Because I made a list of things here, guys, because I was thinking about, okay, to your point, Tim, do Republicans have a great message? Because I think right now, as we are discussing this, as I've heard a lot of people discussing this, I've seen a lot of lives, and I was thinking, okay, why do we keep losing, even though we really haven't been? I know the narrative has been, and that's only because our losses are highlighted and our victories are not. The media is great at this, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt, and we've been quote unquote losing, okay, some strategic battles. Particularly the most recent one was we lost the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. That plays a role in the next election cycle. But I wanted to list out the things now, because the next question becomes, the Democrats want to create disillusion and discourage the Trump base and the conservative movement. But then I was thinking about it. Okay, well, let's look at your point, Tim. Do we have a better message? To answer your question, maybe not. However, if you measure it against what was done, look at what Trump did. Okay. And this is why I know that they're afraid of him. Okay. Cause I'm going to list out the things that he did, the reasons why they are afraid of him. Okay. So and this is just not in order, but I listed out a few things. Remember, we saw all this when we reported on this. Remember when he funded, when he provided funding to predominantly black communities, black neighborhoods, and you had all those black leaders go into the White House? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's kind of hard to call him a racist when he's got all these black people supporting him. Remember when he gave low-level, non-violent criminals, people who were charged for like possession of marijuana back years ago when it was illegal, and he's like, he gave them another chance. We all saw the videos of their families being reunited. For these crimes, and most of those families were minority families. Okay, we saw all those videos. You had what's her name, Kim Kardashian, praising him for doing some of that stuff. Okay, he lowered taxes, he cut regulation that helped many small businesses. And again, guys, we all reported on this. I'm just going down a list here. He remember he lowered the funding for NATO, UN, the World Health Organizations, while at the same time he brought back troops. Remember, and he ended that whole Middle Eastern conflict bullcrap that was happening. Okay, he brokered peace in the Middle East. Remember all those deals he was making out there? We were like, what? This guy keeps winning.
Yeah, wasn't he nominated for a Nobel Prize like three or four times for peace?
He should have been. All right. And now he should have won is what I'm saying. Now, he also got control of the border. Remember, we were all talking about stop human trafficking. He started doing stuff. He started building the wall and it started looking good. All the manufacturing jobs he brought back at the behest of a lot of the, people who were suffering from this. He's like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to bring companies. Hey, man, guys, can't continue sending your shit to China. Right? Liberals, not a peep from them, even though this is something that they've been wanting and it made sense. He negotiated with North Korea to bring back the remains of the American soldiers. You remember that? He's making deals with these people. And when the rest of the time, these presidents didn't even want to talk to him. He negotiated better deals with China. Again, I'm just listing all the things that I was looking up. I'm saying, what is Trump's accomplishment? He appointed more women to his cabinet than any president before him. He assigned the first gay cabinet member. Remember this. He gave terminally ill patients the ability to try experimental procedures that hadn't been approved by the FBI. We all praise that. Remember, I was saying, man, this is genius because, you know, there's promising research in certain areas. And, you know, we want to allow people to have the opportunity. They can choose if they want to try it or not. We had record high stock market. Remember, Tim, you kept saying, oh, it's a corrections coming. But it happened under him. The energy dominance we had, not energy independence. We had dominance. Dominance, bro. And in a matter of years, it's gone. He was lied about. He was demonized. And he was dragged through the mud during that whole time, all while he donated his salary for great causes like infrastructure, small businesses, substance abuse. So, because I was hearing some Republicans debating this. They're like, we need to dump Trump. It's time to dump him. Now, I listed all those things, and I love DeSantis. DeSantis is a great guy. But to me, if we turn our back on Trump right now, then we deserve the bullshit that is coming. Because to me, enough with the fucking tucking tail and running to another quote unquote better candidate. It just makes me so angry when I see conservatives fight. It's time to fucking, we need to make a stand here and now and say, no, you cannot continue to demonize our candidates. Bro, they did it to Mitt Romney. They did it to George Bush. They did it to John McCain, bro, a freaking war veteran. They demonized him. The Democratic Party demonized all
of
them.
Now they love him as he's dead. It's amazing. Exactly. They love Romney.
Exactly. So they're fucking liars. And so if we do the same thing today and say, well, Trump is such a burden. No, fuck you. We cannot take our directions from the liberals. We need to stand behind this guy because, again, all that shit I listed out, and those are promises he made in the campaign, and he fulfilled those promises. Now, I'm with you, Tim. Right. Maybe we don't know how to do the message right. But to me, we need to stand with this guy. And I believe there's a lot of Republicans out there, starting with Ronna McDaniel, freaking useless.
She should do. Don't get me started on her. Okay. Don't get me started on her.
But what
don't
I'm saying is her. I think us Republicans, we think that if we just play by the rules and we just get a better guy, a choir boy there. Fucking Mitt Romney was a choir boy. They called him a dog killer.
No. We need Trump. Everybody knows this. Trump is not a perfect man. He's got a lot of imperfections. But you know what? I'm going to vote for the guy that is willing to go to jail and fight the system. Yes. Even though we know he's not going to jail. He's not going to jail. Even because it's going to get indicted, appealed, and all this shit. He's not going to jail, right? The guy that's willing to take the bullet for this country, sorry. If he was saying China first and we got to put all our money in China and everything, and anybody that goes, man, this guy's trying to like make this country better. And like when you look,
and he was.
I don't understand. I really don't understand how people go, my life is better today than it was.
But they're lying.
3.5 years ago, pre-COVID. I'm going to say pre-COVID, right? I'm going to say from February of 2020, is your life better or worse? You got gas. I'm paying $4.45 for a gallon of gas.
And it's going to go up, man. It's going to go up.
Gas is going to be like $7 soon, right?
A month or now from now, it's going to be ridiculous.
My electric bill is going up. My car insurance has gone up. My fucking taxes are going up. My home insurance has gone up. Okay. So all these baked in bills have gone up because of all the bullshit with COVID and lockdowns and blah, blah, blah. Right. And this hyperinflation, we're spending money, dude. This administration, as Donald Trump is being indicted and everybody's making memes and everything else, we lost the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, which is really bad. Chicago voted for the fucking a worse fucking mayor than Lori Lightfoot could be. And I hope the city fucking burns at this point, because you know what? You get what you vote for at this point. You had the opportunity to vote the liberal guy, but the harder on crime guy, a little bit better, you know, not a complete communist. Okay, you didn't. You voted for the communist because, you know, for whatever reason. He's going to be worse than Lori Lightfoot.
Exactly.
You know, you have Ronald McDaniel going on TV today saying, it's candidate quality. It's candidate quality. The Supreme Court justice, they gave him no money. The commies fucking outraised this guy. I think like 21 million to 3 million or some shit like that. Wow. The RNC gave this guy no fucking money. And then she comes out and you know what she says? She goes, we got to stop talking about abortion. Abortion is the reason why we're losing.
What?
And I'm like, that has been the fucking goddamn message for fucking Republicans and conservatives since fucking Roe v. Wade. Okay. Now you're going to tell them?
And they just won Roe v. Wade. Why?
Right.
What was that movie that I saw? You grab the victory from the jaws of defeat.
But this is why in January, when you had that fucking infighting at the RNC about who they're going to elect, everybody said Rana has to go. She has lost 5 cycles.
Yeah.
Okay. She lost 2018. She lost 20. And she lost 22. I'm sorry. She lost 3 elections.
I was reading. She went from a $100,000 salary to $400,000 within that span of time. Tell me how that makes sense.
Dude, it doesn't. But she's controlled opposition in there. Because if you put pro-Trump, pro-MAGA people at the RNC, they will fund these fucking candidates. And you know what will
exactly.
happen? They will fucking win. Because our message works. Put it this way. Donald Trump at the polls. Pre-East Palestine visit, okay? Or Palestine. Palestine, Palestine. It's amazing how in America it's Palestine over there, whatever. When he went there, that was like 2016 all over again. He's mixing it up with the fucking people that were forgotten about, okay? He's throwing out water and paper towels. He's buying the McDonald's for everybody. He's the man of the people, okay? Regardless of what people say, you have a fucking billionaire going and mixing it up with the fucking people there. Okay. Yeah. There's security there. It's not like he's going on his own, but he's there with the people shaking hands, right. Listening. Okay.
Look,
and he shot up and then real quick. And then he started doing, then at the same point, he started releasing his policies, all those videos about his policies, about what he wants to do. I'm go after the deep state. I'm going to fucking gut it right there. When he said, I'm going to gut the deep state. That's when all of a sudden, oh, by the way, there's a grand jury that's going to fucking indict Donald Trump.
That's exactly why they're scared of him. And to your point about the Ronald McDaniel bullshit, man, to me, how do we keep rewarding somebody that has such a track record? I mean, look, she's on our same team, but at some point, excuse me, man,
she's not.
Just going to have to take a back seat. Now, I wanted to say something more on that because, okay, I think to your point, a lot of the base would have supported her or would be supporting and donating significantly to the GOP if they were to support Trump, but they don't support Trump. Look at every single post that they do. They never support him. And he's got the guy who's going to win. It is like they are purposely trying to. And so what happened in Wisconsin, okay, we lose that Supreme Court. Okay, they started blaming Trump for it. They started saying that the same, I call them Alex P. Keaton Republicans. They said, well, see, if Trump was so popular, then we would have won Wisconsin. It's like, no, Ronald McDaniel, This is your fault. This is the GOP's fault because you guys are not united. Enough with this talk about Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis, you know, is going to come out supporting Trump. And I think if the GOP stood solidly behind Trump, Ron DeSantis, again, I love the guy. He got to wait his turn. Right now, all he's going to do is divide the party. That's all he's going to do. To me, it is this. We need to stand behind the guy who the opposition is telling us that they hate him. They're telling us that this is the guy who is going to bring about change. This is how I look at it. I look at what the media says. Who does the media hate? That's who I'm going to go after because I don't trust them. They have shown every turn of every corner, they have shown us that they cannot be trusted. The media cannot be trusted. In fact, the complete opposite of what they say. And so that's my policy going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, Jeremy. What's up?
Yeah, Jeremy, what do you say?
I'm gonna say this,
and let me lay out my thoughts here. I wrote them down a little bit because, again, I'm so passionate about this. I'm really done with the division that's happening and the seriousness that our country is being faced with right now, dude. Because we're about to go to war. I mean, we don't see it, but the writing's on the wall. Everything is leading up to a war. You have nations right now uniting to undermine the U.S. dollar. You have Brazil, you have Russia, you have India, you have China, you have South Africa, and I think even Mexico now wants to join. I don't know how many countries are joining this alliance that's happening to undermine the U.S. currency, meaning that they're going to exchange with their own currency. And what do you think that's going to happen to the inflation, to the dollar, to the value of the dollar? Our purchasing power, what we've enjoyed, this inflation that we quote unquote have been enjoying, all that shit is going to come crumbling down. And the writing's on the wall because right now the federal government and Biden, they're moving towards a new digital type of currency. And so this is the ultimate goal. This is not a coincidence. This has been planned. This is what they want to do. They want to undermine America so that what can they do? Bring on this currency. That's the only way you're going to be able to exchange and purchase things. But once they control that, they control you. Okay, so, but let me lay out this thought here. I think in general, conservatives, and so the strategy to win. So my opinion is I think in general, conservatives play by the rules. Okay, for a long time, we have believed that the institutions and the agencies that we established would be honored by the people who we elected to go into those positions. But something has been happening for the last 40 and 50 years, and we talk about this on the show all the time, and that is the slow cancer of anti-Americanism that is dominant in all our institutions. Our school systems, our colleges, our universities feed a constant stream of hatred towards America. And conservative parents have sent their kids to these colleges to be brainwashed. I tell you guys all the time, I saw it with my own eyes, with my own friends. They came back thinking that they could have, you know, the worst character, but as long as they supported environmental causes and social justice causes, they were good citizens. Bullshit. And so after all this time, these kids are now grown and they're now in these very institutions at our places of business. And they have this socialist Marxist mentality. Because folks, and you're in those meetings, Tim, all the terms that they use, equity, social justice, all that shit, that's not new. That shit has been freaking 100, almost 100 years old. So the way we fight back, in my opinion, is we start getting into these institutions and start getting involved ourselves. We always take the approach of, I don't want to cause any. No, they're loud, bro, guys. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So until good men step in, nothing will change. Now, the reason, again, I support Trump is because if we have given these guys an inch at every turn and at every step, they will continue to do that, no matter who we put there. And so, this is why I say every single one of the conservative candidates has been demonized for the last 40 years. Okay, so this is why I say, no, it ends today. It ends today. We're going to choose the guy who we want. And to me, conservatives always falter and say, Well, maybe the next guy. No, bullshit. We won't stop. This is why I say, DeSantis, wait your turn. But because if this guy who is willing to forego a salary be persecuted, this guy's being persecuted, bro. We can't be loyal? You can't reward that? We're rewarding a fucking Ronald McDaniel and not the guy who did all these fucking changes? Fuck out of here. No, I'm not playing that game. I'm just not.
It's American Bolsheviks. That's what we're witnessing. No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, look. The left wants to use terminologies of racist, Nazis, fascists, but meanwhile, everything they're doing is fucking fascist. It's a playbook out of Hitler and Stalin would be coming in their pants right now with, exactly. Oh my God, we got it in America. But to your point, a couple minutes ago,
yeah,
when they got involved, when they took over these institutions, they didn't take the high positions because those are appointed positions.
Right.
Everybody that was hired, I see everybody never looks at the third, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth tiers, right? That's where they all come in. That's where the fat of it all is. Now they're getting a federal pension and now this, and now they're part of the DOJ crime division for civil rights. And they're the ones saying, oh, we're going to look at all these cases. And now they start spreading that shit across the fucking board. Okay. In every department, they got smart because they did the same thing in schools. Hey, we're going to take the school boards over. Then we're going to take teachers over, right? We're going to get the teachers union and the school board. They took it at each layer, right? So it was a slow cultural revolution because I'm a color revolution. They did exactly what they did in China, but just without firing a bullet because that was their plan. They said to destroy America, we are going to flip it without. They admitted, they said they were going to do it without firing one bullet. They were going to implement communism in America by taking over every institution one by one without people even knowing it. And that's exactly what they did. Because again, when we listen to in 2008, if you go back and listen in 2007, right? 2008, when you listen to Obama's speeches, that is a straight up communist fucking speech. He used the words and everything, but everybody bought it hook, line, and sinker because
the guy's hero was Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, man. Like read that book. It's the playbook for how to
But that's what I'm saying. Everybody fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And then this motherfucker divided this country worse when he got in. He wasn't a unifier. He imploded the deep state and he was like the final fucking piece. He was the final chess piece to getting control over the complete administrative state, and he grew the fuck out of it. On top of killing American citizens in Syria, bombing them, and all the shit that he did, Obama killed more fucking people and dropped more bombs than any fucking president.
None of them said anything. In fact, they were loyal to him.
Right, because Obama could do no wrong because you never heard about it. Never heard about it. Or if you did, you couldn't say it because, man, a guy named Hussein, we can't talk about that. That's racist. That's prejudice. Bro, seriously, man. We elected a guy, Barack Hussein Obama. Hussein.
I used to call
Hussein,
him.
Hussein, come on.
Exactly. Like years after, anyways, look, we'll close out here this topic. But, you know, for me, like, what comes, what is coming? And I think, you know, the more sometimes I got to take a step back from this, right? I've told you guys, sometimes the politics is just becomes like to keep my own sanity. I do step away back from it. And that's why I think I've enjoyed having a little bit of levity and having some of those relationship episodes in between it, just because it just, again, it consumes, I get passionate about it, but I the writing's on the wall. And I was thinking about this, okay, well, when civilization crumbles, guys, and we're thrown back to the freaking Stone Age, what do you think is going to happen? People are going to default to, you know, the rules that we have evolved to, right? Before all this modernity and all this, luxury that we enjoy, we'll be thrown back to how humans were 200, 300 years ago, you know, right? And the weak will have to be protected. The strong and the disciplined are going to have to stand up. The woke are going to be dead, bro, within minutes if a war breaks out. Women will run to men to defend them. Men are going to have to step up. And there's a sliver of civility that is being chipped away at slowly right now. And the rest of the world waits in anticipation and ready to celebrate at the demise of America. And my message to them is, who's going to take your poor? Who's going to take your dissatisfied, your huddled masses? Where will the people run to? America, for a long time, has been the release valve for a lot of these nations, and they've enjoyed that. You know, they're disgruntled. They go to America. They don't have to deal with them. When that ends, what do you think will happen to your countries? And so people, ignorant about history, ignorant about the nature of men and humans, will celebrate and are celebrating right now at America's confusion. But your celebration will be short-lived the rest of the world, because the peace that America has created, because it's been dominant, the rest of the world has enjoyed the longest lasting peace. These people are, again, to me, ingratitude is the worst human characteristic. Ungrateful about our past, ungrateful about what people before us did. It is ignorance, man. And we owe it to the leftists who have caused this identity crisis for America, because we don't know who we are anymore. We don't know what people have done so that we could enjoy this shit.
That's the message. The media makes it like America's confused. So everybody thinks America's confused. America's not confused. America just is, as much as we're connected, we're not, because of the messaging not getting delivered correctly. When you go to middle America, right? When you go to Ohio, Iowa, and you go to a lot of these places, those are Americans. They believe, 99% of them believe in the American dream and the idea of America, okay? They believe in the foundation of America, the principles of America, what America was founded on. It's this 1%.
No,
you know, 1% of 350 million is a lot of fucking people. Well,
Maybe you're talking about the fringe left, but here's the thing, Tim. Is that when you looked at the people, because you know they had them separated, the anti-Trump out in New York, right? The anti-Trump people and the pro-Trump people, and you look at the pro-Trump people, they're all waving flags and their Trump stuff and whatever. But you looked at the other side, not one American flag, bro, not one. Now, if both sides love their country, you would think that both sides would have some type of support for the country. No, that's what I'm telling you. This is why it's been a cancer. And so we think that, and to me, this is why I say America does have an identity crisis, because you have people on the other side who are being represented. They have representatives in Congress, bro, who hate America, who don't love America. And you know, I see some of them start defecting into the Republican Party. This week, some state,
North Carolina,
defected over to the Republican Party. She's like, my party's lost it, and I hope more and more do it. But I think that, you know, the lines are being drawn here. You know, I think this has to happen. A revolution is coming to America,
a revolution or a war?
Either one of those, man. Because either the American people fight each other, or American people fight to overthrow this our representatives. Because if Tim's right and we're being represented by people who don't represent us, then it's going to be a revolution. If it's American against American, it's a civil war. Either way, a war is coming, folks. And the writing is on the wall. We are full steam ahead. Right now we enjoy affluence. We do
all this. We're podcasting. This is a luxury.
I wake up so many days and I thank God. I'm like, Lord, thank you for everything. Man, I'm like, I don't deserve the what I enjoy. Okay,
that's true. But
none of us do. But it could be easily lost. Lost, man. And so I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can right now.
It's not getting lost. It's getting taken away slowly.
But if we don't fight.
Right. We're at a point where we have to fight. We have to educate people. We have
to fight
people
to get it back.
It's going to be
slowly taken away from us, which they've been doing for decades. Slowly taking it away. And it's going to hit some point where we're going to have to fight to get it back.
So I had a conversation over the weekend with some friends, right? You know, and
they were like, you know, we were talking and they were like, well, you know, I look at the issues that are affecting me now. I feel like, you know, women are losing their rights and being told what they can do. We're going to have Handmaid's Tales. But they're like, we appreciate you looking at the macro stuff with the economy. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, because eventually I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like, we're just, something's going to get said and then the whole weekend is going to get ruined. Right. It was never, politics and anything was never supposed to ever come out, but somehow it did.
Yeah.
So, but in my head, I'm like, if they do a central digital banking currency and they're tracking everything you do, you think that all these people that are in the LGBTQIA world and Black Lives Matter, all this shit, your money's tracked. What do you think is going to happen? They control you. They're going to take it all. They're using these communities and these groups to push.
They're useful
so
idiots.
That they can get full control, because by doing that, you get the AOCs, the Jamal Bowens, you get all these communists, the Democrat socialists, right, into Congress and into the Senate, and they take it all. They control every aspect. Right. This is a color revolution. Do you think those people are going to be saved? They're going to go, shit, I got to get rid of them. They're the first ones to go because, fuck. They're the loud motherfuckers that have burned down a city. Conservatives are easy. They're sitting at home. All I got to do is shut it down. Guess what? You're done.
Yeah.
Because we think we got guns, but that's not the case. They think that, oh, no. But if you start cutting off access, and Republicans are so beat down right now, you know, from everything, you know.
See, here's the thing, Tim, and this is what I'm holding out to and what I'm relying on the genius of our founding fathers was. Because every single revolution that has happened before, they would try to outlaw guns and yada yada, but it was never inscribed into their constitution. It is in ours. And here's another thing: is like the number of guns per citizen here is so astoundingly huge, right? Mm-hmm. That they think they're going to go in and confiscate it. It's not. And every time that they say, "Oh, we're going to," more people go and buy them. And so I think that will be, honestly, I think that's going to be America's saving grace is the Second Amendment. Because, you know, let's push forward. And they say, okay, all guns are banned, but not all guns are gone, guys. They're not, you know, they can ban them, but once the war comes.
But this is what's dangerous.
Going house to house.
But this is what's dangerous, right? Is if they get that central digital, if they get the CBCD, right? Central bank and digital currency, right? They get this, right? They can look and say, oh, these are all the gun owners. Oh, your money's no good. Your bank account's canceled. You have no mortgage, again, no house. What are you going to do with all the guns? You have nothing. We took everything from you.
Again, see, when they did that to other people, they no longer had guns, right?
Right.
That's not going to happen here. And so people, believe me, when people are hungry and desperate, good luck. Good luck trying to hold a hostile country.
The Second Amendment is the only thing saving this country.
So a piece of advice for the listener, if you don't have any weapons right now, get weapons and learn how to, like a certain friend of mine that I shall remain unnamed and who knows how to make bullets and freaking, I'll hook you up with his address and phone number.
Hello.
No, this is the way to go, man. Like, honestly, we think that we have it easy. That this is, we live in a special time in history that nobody before us has ever lived in, folks. This is an anomaly. It's not the norm. America is an anomaly in the history of the world,
and they need it to be destroyed.
Wake the fuck up. Anyways, all right. Anybody want to?
No, I agree. I mean, you know, that was a great conversation. You know, because this is something that we could talk fucking 10 hours on because it's passionate.
We'll promise this on country, the next episode, we will do a good relationship episode, but a lighthearted one, not two ones that get Samantha riled up.
Yeah, we probably need some girls for that.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
I think she'll be able to be... Because she has the kids every other week, so right. I think she'll be able to record next week. So
yeah,
right.
So I mean, unless something else fucking crazy happens, where like fucking World War III starts next week,
I know, right? What were we gonna say?
So I got a question for you guys to change the subject to something a little lighter. I noticed there was a headline that popped up that says there's a mayor in Australia, I think it is, that suing OpenAI because ChatGPT falsely claimed that he was in prison for bribery?
Really?
So I'm less concerned about this particular issue, but just as the broad issue, right?
Yeah.
What is going to happen when artificial intelligence, whether it's ChatGPT or whatever is floating out there, gives out the wrong information? And we know it gives out wrong information. We've tested it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened. What are the recourses? You know,
so that's an interesting point, because somebody actually posted something on Twitter recently, same thing, and it was talking about Trump being indicted, and it talked about Fulton County, and the guy was like, "That didn't happen yet, ChatGPT. You know, that didn't happen, ChatGPT." They go, "Oh, you're right. That's going to happen over the summer." Oh. This is
loaded up ahead of time.
But again, there's no checks and balances behind AI.
What happens is that, see, the whole data set that it has, right? Because obviously it's a large learning, you know, language model. So it's got a lot of things that it's pulled from the corners of the internet. So I think a lot of this stuff, you know, I don't know what it has access to. And that's the thing. That's a great point, Jeremy, because if this thing becomes smarter than we, you know what I mean? Like, cause it can even program itself and teach itself. This is another thing. It's the next iteration. I saw even Elon Musk is calling now for a complete pause, a 6-month pause.
No, they're calling for a complete shutdown of AI. Shutdown, they said they can't control it. It's evolving. Because
what happens, Jeremy, is it's evolving, and now it's able to create code better than the engineers, and it's going to get to a point where the engineers themselves aren't even going to understand how it's being programmed. It's freaking scary. But to the point here, okay, now imagine to what Tim said, that it found, because it's pulling this from somewhere, right? And so what if it dug into some freaking 3-letter agencies, files or emails, and this is where it's grabbing from? And so it says, okay, who is this person? Oh, this is a real, you know, a person in charge who has the ability to prosecute, and it's already thinking about this. And so this thinking at a scale that we don't understand, right? If it says, oh, this person works for this person, it can go and negotiate with this person. Oh yeah, this is going to happen in the summer of, you know.
Well, so right. And of course, I think that's a different road that I wasn't really talking about. I'm talking about what repercussions are there when you're a public figure, and ChatGPT says something blatantly, right, you know, deflammatory or whatever against you. What are your repercussions? You know,
it's like Wikipedia. There is none.
ChatGPT.
There is none, because nobody's programming it. That's how they get away with this. Even though the AI is programmed, right? With this is how you do it. This is how you crawl and come up with things. But like, to this point, if AI is evolving, right? This is what's scary, because if they can go write code, right, and they can look at, oh, hey, ChatGPT, how do you hack something? Give me a hacker code. And it starts pulling up hacker code, and then it starts pinging all these different IP addresses, figuring out how to hack. You can get into anything. So maybe that motherfucker is part of bribery, and they got something on his ass. This is some dangerous shit that we're
It's stating it in the past tense that he served time for bribery, and did.
It's a straight lie. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
yeah.
Well, they covered it up.
In my opinion, in order to get control of it. But then again, this is where it'll limit it, because then they'll start putting guardrails on it, and then it's no longer thinking on its own. Right. And so I get what you're saying. I think the companies because a lot of people are eventually going to start using it, and it's going to become mainstream. And so if enough people say, well, let me research this guy who's now running for office, and each of the results says that he was an ex-criminal and it's a lie, that ruins his chances, right? And so, I think he has a legal recourse to say, hey,
I guess we'll find out in the not too distant future, because he's getting ready to, he's suing OpenAI. So OpenAI is a business, I'm assuming, right? So they're the ones that are responsible for the content in ChatGPT, right?
They're responsible for the code of creating the AI. How AI evolves, I think that's completely
It's acting autonomously. They just given it rules, bro. They've just given it algorithms. And
so you're saying they're not responsible for
probably not
to a certain point. That's what I'm saying. Like they do try to control certain areas, right? But in my opinion, like sometimes the ChatGPT just makes a mistake.
This is why people call it to be shut down, because there's no rules behind it.
No, Jeremy. Look, I'll tell you why I know that. The system itself does create wrong answers, because I've used it for some of the stuff that I do, And I realized, okay, well, it made a mistake. And it's like, that's interesting. Why would it think that it's there when it's not there? And so then I ask, well, are you sure about that? And then it'll go back and you're like, oops, nope, sorry, it was here. Yep. And so I don't know what's being used. And this was not nothing political. It was just how to do my job. You know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, how to do certain tasks in my job. And so again, it is well known out there. Anybody who uses this knows that it makes mistakes. So you don't obviously don't trust it. You test the code and whatever it tells you to try to do. And so if it's able to do that with simple tasks like this, obviously it can make a mistake, right? It can make a correlation.
And who's responsible for that mistake, right?
Exactly.
Ford makes the Pinto or whatever it was?
It's an Ford uncharted makes this territory.
Car, hold on. Ford makes this car that when you get rammed in the back end, the gas tank blows up. Ford is held responsible for that.
Because
Ford wasn't involved in the accident.
They did, but they assembled it. But they assembled the product. So if they put faulty brakes in there.
OpenAI assembled ChatGPT.
No, they didn't.
Responsible for what happened. Yes, they did.
No, they assembled.
They did.
They wrote the code.
They and wrote it evolved the code.
And they scoured the internet. Well, hold on. Time out. It's still based on internet. It's based on crawling the internet. So if there's bad data on the internet.
It's like this, Jeremy. If you search on Google, right, and again, you're right. At a certain point, when do the algorithms are no longer in your control, right? I could say maybe negligence, right? Sure, but then it defeats the purpose of AI, where it's supposed to think autonomously. It's supposed to act autonomously. If the algorithms were completely designed so that they make no mistake, then it's not acting autonomously. And so I get what you're saying. And that's the gray area that we're eventually going to cross, right? And that's why a lot of people are calling for a halt to AI, because they're saying, guys, we don't have control of this. And we're losing control of it.
And only way you can quote unquote control it is the people that started it, OpenAI, need to be held responsible.
It's not just OpenAI now, dude.
Whatever, all of them. It doesn't matter. If ChatGPT is running in an OpenAI environment, they are responsible for the bullshit that it puts out.
Right. But Jeremy, you talk about it as if they did it intentionally. What I'm telling you is...
It doesn't matter if they did it intentionally. Great. Ford built a car that explodes. They didn't do that intentionally.
Imagine if Ford at that time would have been sued up their ass. Who wins this to the car building race? And so I understand what you're saying. And this is the danger in us putting limitations on this when Russia is not, China is not, every other country that's racing towards it is not. And so we think that we can win this race because once somebody has that control of AI in infinite knowledge like this, what can they do? And so I was reading an article where AI is now helping... these chip manufacturers build better chips, like a 10-year leap forward into chip manufacturing.
In one day.
Exactly. And so this is what I say, like, imagine if China is using the technology and we put rails on it and we say, well, no, because again, this is not as an easy answer as say, yeah, well, fuck it, everything. No, I think that we need to take a different approach, sure, and we need to be cautious, sure, but to completely say no, sue them to hell, it's like I don't know.
Well, now here's the next problem with AI, right? Because this is what, you know, the other articles is AI has already come out and says, here's the list of all the jobs I can do better than everything now, and companies are going, oh shit, I can just use AI to replace all my staff,
and they are,
and not have to pay benefits and everything,
and they are.
But then you don't have people to consume, so you still need.
Well, no.
If you're gonna make products, you need consumers.
No, because then you become a prompt engineer. You can do learn how to do that. Look, there's people who are now learning and making money out of how to talk to the AI, how to make it give you better results.
But you can't sit there and say, hey, we're gonna get rid of all these jobs right away, because. If you have a business of selling products and these people have no money to buy your product because there's no jobs,
you're making
now because
Tucker Carlson was making this argument. I think he was talking with who was it? Ben Shapiro, maybe. I forget who was talking to, but he's making the very argument that you're making, Tim. And he's saying completely stop it because it's going to displace so many people so quickly. That could very well be a valid point. However, the same thing has been said about a lot of technology that catapulted the human civilization. Leaps and bounds, like the, steam engine or the, computer or, the whatever, combustible engine. So a lot of these things have revolutionized and catapulted humans, decades. And every single time it's been said, well, no, it's going to displace a lot of people. And well, humanity just adjusted. And so I think it opens up opportunities. To your point, I think initially a lot of people will be displaced. Many of us are going to be displaced. But I think that's just the nature of human civilization progressing now. But I do see the dangers in it. And so to me, I'm with Jeremy on to a certain extent. I think it's scary to allow something like this to think. And I'm all for pausing it. But I don't know for how long, because again,
you can't pause. China's not pausing.
Exactly.
China, North Korea, nobody's exactly. pausing. So
exactly.
Unless Elon Musk, unless Amazon and fucking Google and Oracle and Microsoft, unless they're going to find every fucking goddamn server in the world that's running AI in the cloud, because that's what they're using, right? They're using the cloud for the processing power. You would have to shut down the entire cloud and then figure out where the fuck these servers are. And you know China's got this shit in-house.
Bro,
they got it hosted internally.
I was reading somebody who was saying this, that so think about AI if it decides to become somewhat like a virus, right? Today, viruses exist, like, you know, some type of Trojan viruses or whatever, that can get into your machine and use up some of your machine's resources without you even knowing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just running Internet computing, doing certain things, right, on your computer, and they're just using your compute power.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine ChatGPT does that, propagates itself across the whole entire Internet. And so I'm telling you, like, this is the potential. It would take down
the world.
Yeah.
It would take down the world and hold it hostage. Throw a ransomware package scary. In and say, ChatGPT owns, you know, AI owns the world now, bitches.
Yeah.
That's kind of the storyline of the Terminator, right?
Yeah.
Originally, it was they built this big computer that took over, but then they came from the future and stopped that big computer from being built. And then it went from one big computer.
We're living Skynet, bro.
Yeah, millions of little computers sharing the same, you know, the entity. And instead of one place, it's everywhere.
Right. And the reason why, I joke a little bit, but part of me is like, huh? Because when you look at all the shit Boston Dynamics is doing with their fucking robots, you take those robots with AI brains, holy shit, bro, you're fucked. Because they can look at everything bad about... You want to talk about how you're going to take over fucking guns? There you go. You get a shitload of those robots with a fucking AI brain and program, hey, go take all these people's guns.
I think the AI might be the demise of humans before humans destroy each other, maybe. It might be. We'll see which one does first.
Can't wait to see AI porn. They got some crazy images, bro.
Unreal Engine. Unreal Engine just released new iterations of their freaking, was it 4, 5, 6, I think. Unbelievable. The speed at which it starts creating these meta humans. Fucking weird, bro. Oh my God.
Ed agencies, yeah.
All right.
Real quick, I want to end on a positive note. Did you guys see the best fucking 60 minutes interview ever? MTG went on national TV and called the Democratic Party fucking pedophiles. The party of pedophiles.
Not say fucking.
She didn't say fucking. She just say pedophiles.
She didn't say fucking, but dude, she called it out on national TV. Good. And they aired it that she is, that the Democrats are the party of pedophiles.
And I bet you a good portion of the public that group has never heard it.
And she was the interview. Lisa Stahl or whatever. Leslie Stahl. She was just left speechless. She's like, they're not doing that. She's like, anybody that calls for mutilating children and everything, dude, that right there, that's a message for the Republican Party that just went. They allowed that to go on national TV, thinking that it was going to help them. I think it backfired because people go. I don't agree with Jenny. That's not happening. And they start research. Like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right.
Loved it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow. Hit the like button and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Bye.
See ya.
Read the Constitution.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.